Chapter 26. Months later, I was taking a duty shift on the bridge, sitting mostly uselessly in the command chair while Skippy ran more diagnostic checks on our Franken ship. To his surprise, the Dutchman had survived the trip to Gingerbread. We got the entire crew loaded aboard with all our gear and supplies, and were now preparing to head toward the edge of the dampen field at a gentle one-quarter thrust. It occurred to me that other than home, the Roach Motel star system was where I had spent the most time. Even my 3 stays on Paradise did not cumulatively add up to the time I had been forced to endure in the Roach Motel. Morale aboard the ship was great. My right hand was stinging from accepting high fives from so many people. We were going home. Against all the odds, we were going home. Well, we would be going home after we somehow confirmed the civil war among the Kristang was still raging, and therefore the lizards were not interested in traveling all the way to humanity's home planet for any reason. And also confirmed the Theranin hadn't realized they had an extra surveyor ship sitting around doing nothing and decided to send it to Earth because they had lost their fight against the Jarraptha and they needed something else to do. And confirmed Boss Farrakh or the Max Sulks or the freaking Rindaloo or someone else didn't decide to investigate why the wormhole near Earth shut down because, you know, the universe loves to mess with Joe Bishop. Oh, and also we needed to stop by a gas giant planet to refuel. Okay, there were a lot of things we needed to do before going home, but the point is, we were going home. Going home wasn't the reward at the end of our mission. It was our mission. I hope we didn't screw it up. All decks report ready for departure, Captain, Chang reported unnecessarily from CIC. All decks and stations had individually reported ready 20 minutes ago, and Chotek had approved departing from orbit. The only reason we had not yet fired the engines was our instinct to follow proper procedure. Now there was no reason not to act. Our starship, a collection of parts that were never intended to work together, was ready to fly toward the edge of the Roach Motel, to the edge of the damping field and beyond. Pilot, I called to Desai, who had insisted on being in the command pilot seat when we set course back to Earth. Punch it. She turned in her couch to look at me, amused. Punch it, sir? I can't say something cool like warp factor 6, so punch it will have to do. Aye, Captain. She made a fist and playfully touched her knuckles to the button to engage the autopilot. Commencing acceleration. Back aboard the ship, we re-established traditions like formal uniform dinner once a week and movie night. Having run out of humans defeat alien invasion stories to make fun of during movie night in the galley, the American team had started showing other, less violent and more plausible first contact films. Close Encounters of the Third Kind was one of my favorites. I was almost ashamed to admit I had not seen it before. And it made me wonder, was there a fourth kind of close encounter? Maybe I didn't want to know. Anyway, the latest movie we showed was Arrival, which I thought was good, and it made me think, to the point where my head hurt. The movie ended around 21:30 hours. Then we had snacks in the galley. I drank coffee because I was going to be the duty officer in the command chair from midnight to 0400. In my office, catching up on reports, I was reading a flight training manual for a larger Condor type of Theranin dropship, the type I wasn't yet trained to fly, when Skippy's avatar popped into life on my desk. Hi, Joe. Did you like the movie? Yeah, it was good. I thought, of course you liked it, because it was stupid. How's that? Incredibly advanced aliens come to Earth and they make the primitive humans figure out how to communicate. The aliens should have learned how to communicate with you primitives, not the other way around. Duh. It's a movie, Skippy. You might be, but he was on a roll. And seriously, the aliens need humanity's help in 3,000 years, but they don't say what they will need then? Well, I'm assuming it's not a microwave burrito, I speculated. What? Skippy sputtered. Because they'd be like, we waited 3,000 years and you couldn't have gotten a fresh burrito for us? Oh my God. His avatar stood still, stunned. That is what you got from that film, Joe? You know what? I actually do not know what to say. Well, I'd be pissed, wouldn't you? Or hey, maybe they know their spaceship will break down in 3,000 years and they want to make sure we have a tow truck ready. Skippy? Without a word, his avatar slowly faded away. I took that to mean I totally won that argument. We settled into a routine like we did during every long journey, except normally most of our time was spent with the ship drifting through interstellar space while the reactors recharged the jump drive capacitors. With a powerful damping field still saturating the Roach Motel, our departure from Gingerbread involved our single main reactor providing steady power to the normal space drive motors. Under their modest, reactionless thrust, the Dutchman slowly gained speed, first to escape from Gingerbread's gravity well, then setting course for the loosely defined outer edge of the damping field. It was going to be a long, slow trip, and no one aboard was looking forward to the enforced tedium. To keep people's spirits up, we celebrated milestones, no matter how minor. The ship departed orbit, party in the galley that night. Later we achieved solar escape velocity, the speed at which gravity of the Roach Motel star could not pull the ship back into orbit. Party time! After that, we had to get creative to find excuses for a party. Fortunately, we accepted the challenge. Much of my time, when I wasn't taking useless shifts in the command chair, was devoted to helping Major Sims get all our gear and supplies properly stowed away. Given the opportunity to repack almost everything, she moved things around to free up two additional compartments for growing food and hydroponics. "We have enough of this gear aboard?" I asked skeptically as she directed me and a team in setting up hydroponics tanks. "Yes," she pointed to crates stacked against the far bulkhead. "Growing food in space is still an experiment for us, so NASA, the ESA, and other agencies gave us different types of experimental equipment. The gear in these crates hasn't been used yet because we didn't need it. Now I think it is best we add to our food-growing capacity." I nodded. Everyone appreciated fresh fruit and vegetables in the galley. "How are we doing on the food we brought from Earth?" I asked quietly. "Even with two more compartments being used for hydroponics, we can't grow enough food to feed the entire crew, and morale will suffer if our diet is restricted to whatever we can grow. Using hydroponics to supplement stored food, we can stretch our supplies to 12, maybe 14 months. She cocked her head at me. "UNEF Command didn't expect us to be out here this long, Colonel." "And neither did I agreed. It was supposed to be quick and easy, right? Find out whether the Theranin were sending a surveyor ship to Earth to replace the one we destroyed. But to do that, we had to board and capture a Theranin relay station.
Then we took a side trip to Paradise.
Twice. The whole second trip wouldn't have been necessary if my brain had been working, and we wouldn't have had to space dive all the way to the surface of Jumbo. Then we had to sabotage the Ruhan negotiations, and there was the minor issue of starting a Kristang civil war.
Don't forget your beer can going on unscheduled leave got us stuck here for more than a year.
As she spoke, her eyes looked up at the ceiling, expecting Skippy to reply. Wisely, he remained silent. And no one is forgetting that, Major. Once we get past the damping field, we'll test our new jump drive. Then my intention is to verify the Kristang are still fighting each other, run a couple errands, and head straight back to Earth.
Unless something else happens before we return to Earth, she observed sourly. This is the most snake-bitten outfit I've served with. We always get the job done, but, there is always something standing in our way.
Sims, I winked at her. If we aren't able to fly directly back to Earth, I am officially going to blame your negative thoughts. Anyway, nothing bad can happen until we get out of the Roach Motel, so relax, okay? A mere 2 days later, my idiot prediction that nothing bad could happen in the Roach Motel slapped me in the face. It was early morning, 05:28 to be precise, and I was on duty in the command chair doing nothing more important than catching up on reading reports, when a shiny beer can ruined my day.
"Pilot!" Skippy shouted excitedly. "Course 227.45, Mach 129.32, full military thrust."
Lieutenant Reed, who had been running diagnostics on her own console and was caught totally off guard, turned to look toward me in shock, one of her hands poised above her console. I opened my mouth to confirm Skippy's orders, then remembered that Sims and her team were still unloading dropships and stowing away gear.
Full military thrust would partially overload the artificial gravity system that protected the crew and interior of the ship from the full effects of violent maneuvers. Supplies and equipment could be flung around and damaged or destroyed. People could be injured or killed.
"Belay that," I ordered instinctively. "Shields up, weapons free. Skippy, what's the threat?"
"Max Hulk's ship?"
His voice was frantic and it chilled my blood.
"I just detected a Max Hulk ship powering up out there."
"Max Hulk's?"
My blood froze in fear.
"What the hell? Where?"
There was nothing on the main bridge display. And suddenly there was. As the display zoomed out, there was an angry red blinking dot. It wasn't close. In fact, it wasn't anywhere close to being close to us. Squinting at the display, I determined the enemy ship was 18 light minutes away, which was more than 300 million kilometers.
"Sorry, I forgot to forward data to the sensor pilot," Skippy said disgustedly. "You see it now?"
"Yes, hell yes. It just jumped in?"
"Damn, that was disastrous for us."
"Crap."
What were the odds that a senior species would pick now to send an expedition into the Roach Motel? There was no way, absolutely no freaking way the Max Hulks could know from outside the system that the Guardians were temporarily dormant. No way. Oh, crap. We knew the dampened field covering the entire system was still fully active. We knew the stealth and fuzz fields around the planet Gingerbread had not been deactivated. Even after Skippy regained his full awesomeness, he had not been able to get the Guardians to drop the annoying fuzz field that made communications difficult. What we did not know for certain was whether the stealth field surrounding the entire Roach Motel system was still active. If that stealth effect had been turned off, then sensors outside the system might be able to see that a ship was flying around without being torn apart. We had been there over a year. Plenty of time for light to travel far beyond the inner system to be picked up by satellites waiting eagerly in the interstellar depths for any true glimpse of activity inside the impenetrable stealth field.
"What?"
Skippy asked disparagingly. No, Joe, that ship did not just jump in. You should know that.
Duh, because there was no gamma ray burst. No, that ship is one of the derelicts I have been tracking in the junkyard. Until a moment ago, it was a large but rather uninteresting derelict. Now I can see much of the broken junk detected by sensors was only an outer layer, possibly a disguise.
That is very clever, if true.
The Max Hulks must have concealed a small but functional ship inside a hull they expected to be destroyed after jumping in. The inner ship must have drifted unpowered, observing with passive sensors, until the ship's computer saw our ship flying around without being attacked by Guardians.
Wow!
He gasped in admiration. That ship has been floating there for a long time, waiting and hoping for an opportunity to send a signal to the outside galaxy. The ship, or the crew, if there is one, must have determined signals still are being blocked, so they're going to carry the message the old-fashioned way, fly to the edge of the damping field, and jump.
Yep, their ship is now clear of its outer shell and accelerating.
Well, that is interesting. They are not setting course for the outer edge of the system. They are headed toward us.
Come on, Joe, I programmed an intercept course. Give the order.
Wait a sec, okay? I answered distractedly, manipulating the controls on the command chair's armrests to project Skippy's proposed course onto the display and asking the navigation system to project a course for the Max Hulk ship. What I saw made my hair stand on end.
The Max Hulk ship is headed straight for us, and you want us to fly straight at them?
I want to kill them, Joe. I want those rotten kitties to die.
Shit, Skippy.
I exchanged a shocked look with Chang in the CIC. This was a side of Skippy we had not seen before.
Tell us how you really feel.
How I feel?
That was a rhetorical question, Skippy, I explained.
Oh. Joe, do you remember what the Burgermeister told you about the Max Hulks? That the Rindaloo helped the Max Hulks acquire technology, and the Max Hulks showed their gratitude by using Elder technology to attack the Rindaloo?
Oh, yeah. I did vaguely remember that. The Burgermeister had told me a lot of info back then. It seemed like that was a lifetime ago now.
And before that, the Kristang told us the Rindaloo tried to suppress the development of all intelligent species in the galaxy, and the Max Hulks rebelled. One or the other, or both,
could be lying. Why do we care? We care, Joe, because the Burgermeister told you the truth, or as much of it as she knows. This war, this whole horrifying endless war, was started by the Maxulks. They started it because they wanted to slaughter the Rindaloo and rule the galaxy by themselves. They have kept this war going and destroyed the lives of trillions of sentient beings because they still seek to rule unchallenged. The only reason the Maxults have not continued to fight the Rindaloo directly is because the Sentinels would intervene and wipe out both sides. I hate them, Joe. I hate them. I hate them absolutely with every fiber of my being. Since I restored myself, I am different. I feel different. I feel like I am beginning to remember my original purpose, and I feel like stopping the Maxults from destroying innocent lives, from destroying entire cultures, is part of my purpose. Okay, Skippy, I don't like the Maxults either. Listen, we need to be smart about this. The Maxults have advanced technology, and we have a hot-rod Frankenstein ship you patched together with parts from a junkyard and a roll of duct tape. Flying straight at them is not a smart way to go about dealing with the problem. What do you know about their ship? Can we go toe-to-toe with them in the stand-up fight? Although his voice still seethed with anger, he was more in control of himself. You make a good point, Joe. As yet, I have little data on that Maxult ship other than its basic configuration, however— I would say the answer is no. We are extremely unlikely to win or even survive a fight with a Maxult ship. Even a Maxult ship that is damaged and has been drifting dormant for over 100,000 years. Damn, I am supposed to be the coldly logical one, and you are supposed to be the emotional meat sack. Uh-oh. What? We just received a message from the Maxults demanding we stand down all power generation and surrender. Shit. Joe, I am sorry. Again, I looked at Chang through the glass in the CIC, and he nodded and gave me a thumbs up. He knew what I was thinking. Pressing a button on my armrest, I activated the 1MC system to broadcast all over the ship. All hands secure ship for combat maneuvering. Repeat, secure the ship for combat maneuvering. To Chang, I said, tell me when all stations report in. Joe, what are you doing? Skippy asked. Send a message back to the Maxults, please. Demand that they surrender and prepare to be boarded. All stations are secured, Chang reported. Lieutenant Reed, I ordered. Intercept course. Full military thrust. Energize maser cannons and open missile launch doors. Aye, aye, Captain, Reed acknowledged. If she had doubts, she kept them to herself. Joe, Skippy demanded. What the hell are you doing? I told you we don't stand a chance against that Maxult ship. Yeah, I know that, Skippy. Sometimes if you can't win a fight, you have to bluff your way out of it. You are bluffing? He asked, astonished. I ignored his question. What do they know about us? Do they know we're human? I have to guess based on their transmission. No, they addressed us as unknown species. Why? Unknown means they do not know who we are, our capabilities. All they could know is our ship has been flying around out here when all other ships got ripped apart by the Guardians. For all they know, we control the Guardians. Skippy whistled. Whew! That is a ballsy move, Joe. I must caution you. The Maxults have very likely been monitoring us through passive sensors. They surely know our ship was disabled by the Guardians, and they almost certainly watched us patching this ship together from a junkyard. Plus, they must have been listening to our transmissions. We were lax about communication security here because we thought we were alone. It would be very surprising if the Maxults do not recognize this ship is basically on a Theranan level of technology. Basically, yeah. It's the part they don't know that we need to sell. What is that ship doing now? On the main display, I could see we had changed course and were accelerating. I felt myself being pressed gently down in my chair. In the CIC, people had strapped in, and Chang was walking carefully, holding onto a safety railing. It continues to accelerate, Joe. Our transmission will not reach them for another 18 minutes. Then it will take another 18 minutes for us to detect any reaction. Duh, I told myself, resisting an urge to slap my forehead. Okay. Right. This is going to take a while. A blinking indicator on my armrest needed to be dealt with.
It meant Hans Chotek was urgently demanding to speak with me. "Colonel Chang," I carefully unstrapped from my chair. "Take over. I need to brief Mr. Chotek. Skippy, alert me if anything changes." Nothing changed. Not for a while. Charging through normal space to a head-on intercept with an enemy ship was an entirely new experience for me, and for everyone aboard. Usually, ships tangled in normal space for only a short time before one or the other jumped to escape or to gain an advantage in the fight. In the Gingerbread system, saturated with a powerful damping field, neither ship could jump, so we had to throw out the normal rules of space combat maneuvers. Unfortunately, we were making up tactics as we flew, and those tactics depended on my strategy of bluffing. For a brief moment that got everyone aboard excited, my bluff appeared to be working. 7 hours after Skippy first detected the Maxalt's ship's movement, the enemy ship reduced its acceleration. Instead of demanding that we surrender, their message changed. They demanded that we identify ourselves. The message contained insults that Skippy didn't bother to translate. He informed me the insults were fairly generic and unoriginal threats, and I didn't need to listen to it. For that moment, I was shakily hopeful the Maxalt's would buy into my bluff and break away from intercept. That hope lasted less than 2 hours, because then the Maxalt ship resumed acceleration toward us. "Crap," I muttered. "That didn't work." "Mr. Skippy," Chotek asked anxiously, "can we outrun them?" "In this bucket of bolts," Skippy answered. "Are you kidding me? The duct tape holding the reactor together is almost falling apart as it is. Nope, no way can we outrun that ship. The Maxalt's can out-accelerate us by a factor of 20 at least." "Colonel Bishop," Chotek turned to me, the fear and concern in his eyes unmasked. "Your bluff didn't work. Do you have an alternative plan?" Skippy spoke before I could. "How about we challenge them to a pants-off dance-off?" I cringed. "Skippy, that is not help." "Ah, you're right, Joe. You're a terrible dancer. Forget what I said." In my head, I had been dreaming up and discarding increasingly desperate and stupid ideas as we charged toward the Maxalt's. None of my ideas had been good enough to mention, or I just hadn't been desperate enough at the time. Now I was. "Skippy, you have restored yourself to full awesomeness, right?" "Exactamently, Joe. Even more awesome than before." "I know. That blows your mind." "Uh-huh, yeah. You can create micro-wormholes again. Please. Ask me for something more complicated than simple party tricks. Making balloon animals is more complicated for me than creating simple space-time micro-warps." "A party trick will be fine for now. I want you to load one end of a micro-wormhole into the fastest, stealthiest missile we have." "Doing it now. Missile is ready." "Colonel Chang, launched the bird." "Done," Chang replied with a raised eyebrow. He wanted to know what I was planning. He wasn't the only one with questions. "Colonel," Chotek put a hand on the back of my chair, "please share what you plan to do." "It's another bluff, sir," I explained. "With a single missile?" His hand left the chair as if he didn't wish to be associated with me right then. "No, sir," I shook my head. "If it works, they will never detect the missile. And this time we won't be bluffing. Skippy will." "Me?" Skippy sputtered. "Joe, what in the hell is this crazy idea you have?" It wasn't a crazy idea. Stupid, maybe. Possibly futile. Most likely a waste of time. But not crazy. "Ready?" I asked, already knowing the answer. "Joe," Skippy huffed, "the next time you want me to do some lunatic thing you dreamed up, you should ask me about it first." "Is that a yes or no, Skippy?" "It's not that simple." "Well, if this is not within your scope of awesomeness, what?" One thing that had not changed about Skippy was how easily his massive ego allowed me to manipulate him. "Dude, please. This is child's play for me. I can do it, but I question whether it will have the desired effect on the Maxalt's." "Me too, Skippy. If only there was a way for us to know if it will work. Hey, here's a wacky idea. Let's try it and see what the Maxalt's do." "Very funny, smart guy." "Okay, here goes nothing. Don't say I didn't warn you." Propelled by our swift and stealthy missile, The micro-wormhole had sped on far ahead of us, then swung around to fall in behind the enemy ship and fly in formation with it, matching acceleration, or technically matching deceleration, because several hours ago the Maxalt ship had begun slowing, so it would not fly right past us. It was obvious they intended to capture the Flying Dutchman if they could. As our missile neared the enemy, we began transmitting a message that if the Maxalts did not cease thrust and surrender, we would unleash the Guardians on them. That was the bluff. Even the new, more awesome than before Skippy the Magnificent could not actually control or command the Guardians, but the Maxalts did not know that. After they received our message warning that we would unleash the Guardians on them, the Maxalts hesitated. That indecision lasted only a short time before they replied, taunting us and stating flatly they did not believe we had any connection to the godlike elders. The piece of crap ship we were flying was proof of our low-level technology. Their skepticism was not unexpected, and I had a plan for that. We transmitted a reply stating that we were about to demonstrate our control over the Guardians. That demonstration was Skippy's part of the bluff. Through the tiny far end of the micro-wormhole, he projected a hologram behind the Maxalt ship. A big hologram. He also fed hard radiation through the micro-wormhole, bleeding charged particles off our main reactor. Finally, he created space-time ripples that were weak and harmless, except that to the Maxalts, they appeared to be the beginning of the vicious space-time shearing effect that had torn apart the Flying Dutchman. And a long time ago, they had torn apart the Maxalt ship. The hologram, with the radiation, looked to Maxalt's sensors like part of a Guardian emerging into local space-time, and it scared the shit out of them. "Yes!" Skippy exulted. "They're breaking away! Enemy ship has initiated hard turn to port and has resumed acceleration. Wait. Wait. Turn is complete. They are now headed away from us, Joe." "Outstanding." I accepted a high five from Sergeant Adams, both of us grinning like idiots. "How hard are they accelerating?" "Currently they are thrusting at about 40% more acceleration than we are capable of, and increasing." "Ha! Those rotten kitties sure as hell want to get away from there." "If we change course to pursue now, will that make the Maxalt suspicious?" The main bridge display indicated we were still more than 4 light minutes away from the enemy. If we relied on speed of light sensor data, we should not detect the other ship's change of course for another 4 minutes. "I don't think so, Joe. In fact, if the Maxalt see we change course now instead of waiting for speed of light data, that will reinforce in their minds that we have advanced technology they do not know about." "Good. Then let's do that. Pilot, calculate revised intercept course and engage." Desai nodded silently, but Chotek questioned my order. "Colonel, you intend to pursue the enemy?" "Sir," I turned to look back at him. "I intend to make it look like we are pursuing. We are not capable of catching that ship. We have to make it look like we're trying to catch them to sell the bluff. Besides, we need to get to the edge of the damping field before we can jump away, so we might as well follow them out of the system." "Ah." That seemed to satisfy Chotek. "Colonel Bishop, congratulations. We survived an encounter with a Maxalt ship. I must admit I had doubts." So did I, but no way was I going to tell him that. We did survive a potentially, almost certainly fatal encounter with one of the apex species in the galaxy, and I accepted congratulations from the crew. Privately, I was patting myself on the back as the enemy ship drew farther and farther away from us. After 2 hours, I ordered Desai to reduce acceleration. Skippy was concerned about the strain on our junkyard reactor, and we weren't going to catch the Maxalts anyway. My self-congratulation tour lasted 2 full days, and reached the point of me eating a second piece of chocolate cake after dinner, even though I had not done any meaningful exercise that day to burn the calories. Because I was mentally and emotionally exhausted, my after-dinner plans included stopping by the hydroponics lab to check on Major Sims, then visit the science team before going to sleep a half hour early. To show my confidence in the command crew, I was not going to visit the bridge to check on them. If I needed to know what was going on, my Z-phone could display all the data I needed. It was while brushing the last bit of chocolate frosting from my teeth that Skippy called me. "Hey, Joe."
"Hey, Skippy," I mumbled through a mouthful of toothpaste. "What's up?"
"Oh, nothing much." Oh, shit. I spit out the toothpaste all over the tiny mirror.
Crap. Did that ship turn around? Damn it. I was totally out of ideas for bluffing, and all we had were bluffs. Through the micro-wormhole, Skippy had only been able to fake the emergence of a Guardian for 80 seconds before the strain caused the micro-wormhole to collapse. Fortunately, by that time, the Maxolts were running for their lives and we didn't need to sustain the illusion, but I had feared all along that those super-advanced kiddies would closely examine their sensor data and discover they had been tricked by a fancy hologram. No, they have not turned around. The opposite. They increased acceleration 35 seconds ago. Subjective time. He meant that 35 seconds ago we received speed-of-light sensor data showing the Maxolts had increased acceleration. With the Maxolt ship now 9 light-minutes away from us, the actual event had happened that long ago. It looks like they are pushing their engines to the maximum. I am detecting signs that their engines are becoming unstable. Oh, that's too bad. Well, it would be just terrible if their ship, you know, exploded. That might be the best thing that could happen, Joe, because of the other thing that ship did at the same time it increased acceleration. It began broadcasting a message containing sensor data of this ship. Okay, yeah. So? No one will recognize this Frankenstein monster you slapped together. The message also contains this. The bathroom mirror was not actually a mirror. It was a display screen. Through the splattered toothpaste, I saw the image. Oh, shit.
This is not good.
Hans Chotek executed the rarely attempted difficult verbal combination of a painfully obvious and woefully understated comment. No, sir, I agreed. With the tap of my Z-phone, I ran the video on the conference room display screen again. Only part of the video, because it was nearly 8 hours long and we didn't need to watch all of it. What I showed was a compilation from the compressed Maxolt's message. The first image was my own stupid face speaking into my Z-phone on gingerbread. From the background, I could tell the video was from sometime when we were at base camp. The conversation I vaguely recollected. I was talking with a recon pilot. This may have been the second or third day after we landed. The content of the conversation did not matter. Two things did matter in the video. First, the fact that my face was visible, so anyone who saw the video could determine the species responsible for the transmission. Second, in the background, people were walking up and down the back ramp of a Theranin Condor dropship. Anyone zooming into the image could clearly tell it was a Theranin spacecraft, and they could identify the species that was clearly operating Theranin technology. Stolen Theranin technology. We could not practice normal communication security on gingerbread, I offered the lame explanation. Because of the fuzz field. I understand the why, Colonel. The Maxolts are broadcasting this message into clear. No encryption? Yes, Skippy answered. They want everyone in the area to see and understand the message, so they included standard tags for interpreting the audio and video. They do not recognize your species or understand human languages, but anyone in the galaxy outside this system will know humans originated the video. How are the Maxolts able to decrypt our transmissions? Chotek demanded of Skippy. In the past, you have assured us that none of our transmissions could be successfully intercepted because of your advanced encryption methods. To my surprise, Skippy did not give a snarky reply. Normally, all of our transmissions go through me, and I use encryption so sophisticated that even the Rindaloo would think our transmissions are random noise. However, while we were on gingerbread, I was not able to access my full capabilities, so we had to rely on the Theranin encryption that is native to the dropships. Skippy did not add that we had covered that subject in several briefings before we left the Flying Dutchman to land on gingerbread, so if Chotek didn't remember that vital info, it was his fault. Ah, Chotek said without apology, a quick flash of annoyance indicating he did remember being given that info. What can we do about it? If this message gets out to the galaxy... He didn't need to finish the thought. Skippy assures me the Guardians are still blocking all transmissions from this star system. No one outside will ever receive this message. I turned the video off as it was displaying Chotek himself speaking with Smythe. The Maxolt ship had apparently picked up many of the transmissions we made from the surface of Gingerbread, plus ship-to-ship traffic while we flew dropships to that planet. Any of it was damaging. Any of it would be disastrous if it got beyond the Gingerbread system. The secret of humans flying around in a stolen Theranin ship would be out. Worse,
Species across the galaxy would learn that humans had survived landing on gingerbread while all other species had failed. Maybe worse, other species would think that somehow, incredibly, lowly humans could control elder guardians. Earth would soon suffer the consequences.
If that is true, Chotek rubbed his chin thoughtfully, then why are the Maxalts broadcasting this message all over the system?
I suspect the Maxalts are covering their bets, sir, I answered. If we use the Guardians to destroy their ship, they are hoping some other dormant ship in the system will pick up the signal and later get away.
There are other dormant ships in this system?
Chotek's eyebrows almost met his hairline.
Could be, Skippy admitted. We don't know. It is unlikely, but it was unlikely any ship survived, and we know at least one ship did. Plus, we recovered enough bits and pieces to cobble together a functional starship. It is possible someone else out here could do that. The point is, the Maxalts are taking precautions. Their goal, of course, is to reach the edge of the damping field, jump away, and tell their own people what they found here.
Chotek let out a long breath.
Colonel Bishop, remind me never to offer congratulations to you. I may have cursed us by celebrating too early.
In that case, we will never celebrate anything. Out here, every time we think we've accomplished one mission, the galaxy slaps us in the face, I stated sourly, mentally offering a single-finger salute to the galaxy.
Very well, Colonel, Chotek concluded. We need a way to destroy that Maxalt ship before it reaches the edge of the damping field. Do you have a plan to do that?
We are reviewing our options, I replied. And Hans Chotek knew what that really meant. It meant that I had absolutely not one single freaking clue how to accomplish our latest impossible mission.
Mr. Skippy,
Chotek automatically looked at the speaker in the ceiling as Skippy had chosen not to distract us with his avatar. How long until the enemy ship reaches the edge of the damping field?
The damping field does not have a sharply defined edge, Skippy stated. The field strength drops off as the cube of the distance from the field generators. How soon the Maxalts can jump depends on the capability of their jump drive, which has been dormant for a very long time. If I was that ship's commander, I would not attempt to jump until I was very confident my drive could handle the strain. But you want a precise answer, so I'll give you my best guess. Assuming they cannot maintain their present rate of acceleration for long, I expect they will not be able to jump for 20 days, most likely longer. The damping field extends significantly beyond the orbit of the farthest planet.
20 days.
Chotek shook his head, marveling at the incredible distances involved in space combat.
Is there any possibility we could jump before they can?
No. Well, extremely unlikely, Skippy replied. Their jump drive is Maxalt's technology that was presumably designed to function after being dormant for an extended period. Our jump drive is made from odds and ends I found in a trash bin. We will have to be very careful about jumping inside even a very weak damping field. Also, the enemy ship is moving much faster than us. They will reach jump distance long before we do.
We have to destroy a ship that we can't even catch, using the limited weapons aboard our junkyard ship. Colonel Bishop, I hope you are soon able to complete review of these.
He paused.
Options, you mentioned.
Yeah. Sir, I stumbled.